This is the beginning of 2025. The last time we were together, it wasn't this year, but now it is. Our theme for this coming year is simply going to be this: practical faith. We're going to spend the whole year of 2025 looking together at practical faith, at asking the question, how does my trust in Christ guide me through my daily life? And it's going to be special, and I'm looking forward to a year full of practical faith, and we're going to be looking together at some of the subjects and some of the opportunities and some of the actions that God challenges us to as we practice our faith in a very real way throughout the coming year, and I'm looking forward to it. I had a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me about a circumstance, a situation that had taken place in their life, and how it had opened exactly the right door at exactly the right time. And the conversation we had was this: there are just those times in your life when the Lord lets you know, I really do know. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what's happening in your life, and I am here for you. There are just those times when we need that affirmation that God really knows and God really cares and He's really involved in our life. And I had a circumstance along those lines a couple of months ago. It was as part of my morning Bible study, my time with the Lord, and I had reached the point where, as a part of my morning study, I usually read a chapter out of some book or another that just kind of challenges me and grows me. And I had come to the end of the book I had been reading, and I was looking for another one, and I just couldn't find one that felt right. You know what I mean? How sometimes you just come across something and you think, that is exactly what I need. And I looked at several of the books that I had purchased recently, and none of them seemed to be exactly right, and I was trying to figure out, so what do you need to read? And I started looking around on the bookshelves in my office, and I came across a book that Max Lucado wrote about 10 years ago. I don't remember when I purchased it. I don't even remember owning it. But when I pulled it out, I thought, this is exactly what I need for this point. It was as though the Lord took that book and put it on my shelf and said, Jim, read this book. And it really was. The name of the book is Before Amen, and in it, he introduced a concept that Max calls pocket prayer. It was something he taught to his own church, and it was a way of saying, God can show you how to pray simple prayers in simple ways that will open the door for deeper prayer and a richer experience with the Lord. And he encouraged his members to remember and practice that pocket prayer. And when I finished the book, I thought, you know what? I need to do that myself. I need to write my own simple prayer that I can take and use as a walking guideline for how to pray. And then I started thinking, you know what? I can't think of a better way for us as a church family to enter into 2025 together than to maybe walk through the whole idea of simple prayer. And look at five subjects that you can pray, not just to pray that simple phrase, but to let it open the door for a richer prayer life that you can experience. So that's what I'm going to be doing over these next 5 weeks. We're going to be looking together at the concept of simple prayer. So before we jump in and before I introduce the first of these topics, let me just kind of share my simple prayer with you. And it really is very simple. This is how it goes. Heavenly Father, I trust you. They need your touch. I'm grateful for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You think you could remember a prayer like that? Heavenly Father, I trust you. They need your touch. I'm grateful for everything you do. In Jesus' name. That's where I want us to begin. We're going to begin at the very beginning. We need to ask the question for ourselves, if I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and if that simple prayer is going to influence my life, I need to ask a really important question. And the really important question is this: what are you really doing when you pray? When you take time out of your day, when you bow your head and close your eyes, or if you're driving in your car, please don't close your eyes. What are you doing when you pray? Because different people have different motives for praying. For some people, praying is simply giving the Lord a wish list. God, here's the things I want you to do, and if you really love me, this is what you'll give me. For some people, it's an obligation to be fulfilled. You know, here I sit at the table, it's time to say a blessing. Here I am, it's time to go to bed at night, it's time to pray a prayer. Here I am at this particular time, in this particular place, and this is when I need to pray. A lot of people think a prayer is a lucky charm. You know, if I say a prayer, God's going to bless me. So let me go ahead and say that prayer. And way too many people practice prayer in an impersonal way, as though having a positive thought or speaking to a higher power is going to accomplish anything. The truth is this: prayer, genuine prayer, is about as far from impersonal as you can get. Prayer that works is personal time that is spent between you and a Lord who cares for you. So this morning, I want us to begin our simple prayer in a simple place, and it is simply by praying two words that mean the world. Heavenly Father. Now, there's nothing magical about that phrase, Heavenly Father. I'm not telling you, if you don't use those exact words, then God's not going to listen. Your prayer's not going to be heard. I'm not saying to you that unless you say the words, Heavenly Father, God's not going to be paying any attention to what you try to say. Because many of us open our prayers in other ways. You may begin by praying, Lord. You may say, Dear God, Almighty Father, or any number of ways that you begin the time of reaching out to God. And all of those ways are fine. And you don't get hung up on any particular words. It's the attitude of the heart that matters, not the words that you have to say. Now, Judith had an experience not long ago where she found out sometimes those words matter. She was spending a few days with our grandchildren up in Chattanooga, and she was laying down on the bed with our grandson, J.D., as he was getting ready to go to sleep. And so they were going to pray together, and she started the prayer the way Judith usually begins her prayers, which is, Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father. And immediately J.D. said, No sugar, no sugar, no. That's not how you pray. You have to say, Dear Father God. Now, what does that mean? Well, the great thing is it means he's listening to his mom and dad when they're helping him to pray. But it also meant in his mind, unless you're using the words they use, it doesn't count. Don't give me this gracious and loving Father thing. I've never heard that in my life. God's not listening. Yes, he is. Here's the thing. You don't have to say the words Heavenly Father or any other particular words when you begin to pray. But Heavenly Father needs to be in your heart. When you talk to God, that's who you're talking to. Your Heavenly Father. And that expresses three things that are necessary for a simple prayer to be an authentic prayer. The first thing you need to realize is this. Simple prayer is an expression of awe. An expression of awe. Sometimes we can be way too casual when we begin to pray to God. We talk to him the way we would the person sitting across from us at a table. We talk to God as though he were just like we are. And we need to remember this. When you pray to God, you're addressing the Lord of heaven and earth. He is your heavenly Father. Remember how the Bible begins? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you begin to pray, one of the things you need to recognize is this. Before there was anything else, there was God. It is phenomenal that a heavenly God would invite you to come to Him and pray. It is beyond belief that a heavenly God would know who you were and care about what's happening in your life. But He does, because He made it all. And He made you. Everything that exists is covered with His fingerprints. Everything that is completely dependent upon His power in order to even exist. He is the one who is always in control. And that is the one you have a privilege to pray to. Mark Batterson tells the story of an encounter with a skeptic who challenged the reality of the miracles of Christ. He said, these kinds of things couldn't really happen. They're just stories that were made up. He said, how in the world can you believe that Jesus Christ sat on a hillside and took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and fed a multitude of thousands? Batterson replied, and he said, you know, it's not so hard to believe that Jesus could take two loaves and five fishes and feed thousands of people when you recognize who He really is. And who He really is the one who created everything that exists with four words: let there be light. Somehow creating lunch for folks is nothing when you realize we are dealing with the God of everything. Never forget that when you pray, you're calling out to God Almighty. And that's why prayer may be simple, but it should never be casual. The God who was there from the beginning is the one you're praying to. The one who created it all and keeps it in its place is the one you're praying to. The one who is the source of your life and who offers eternal life to all who believe. He is the one you are praying to. The one who was there when it all started. The one who will bring it all to a conclusion in His kingdom has invited you. Come to Me and pray. Don't ever take that privilege for granted. It is the greatest opportunity you will ever be given. And every time you begin your prayer and in your heart you remember He is heavenly. Beyond us. Beyond anything. He is God. But at the same time, simple prayer is deeply personal. We pray to God Almighty, but we've been given the unbelievable invitation to call Him Father. Heavenly Father. You who live on a planet that's less than a speck in the vastness of the universe. You whose lifespan is like the grass, Solomon tells us, here today and gone tomorrow. God knows your name. Not only that, you are of infinite value to Him. You matter to God more than you could possibly imagine. He even sacrificed His Son to offer you salvation. He cares about you. No wonder the Bible cries out, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Children of God. It's a phenomenal thing to hear the Lord of the universe tell us, I know you so well that I'm aware of every hair on your head. I care for you. That's so different from the way we think as human beings, aren't we? We're kind of conditioned to believe that the bigger something becomes, the less personal it is. whether it's a company or a church or an institution, the bigger it is and the more people are involved, the less likely you are to matter to those people who are up at the top. It just doesn't work that way. But here's the thing. God does not mass produce. He creates individuals one at a time, intentionally, personally, exactly the way you are. And He's God. And He knows everything about every one of us, and He never forgets. And when you pray, He doesn't have to pull out a book and say, "Now, wait, let me remember who this is and what they're like." You begin to pray, "Heavenly Father," and He says, "That's right, you're my child. And I know you and I love you. And I knew every day of your life before they ever took place. You matter to me. And every individual is precious in His sight." And He invites each one of us to pray to Him as Father. And that term that is translated Father is not a formal term. When Jesus used it, it was a term of familiarity. I love Larry Crabb as a psychologist, Christian psychologist, and he wrote this wonderful book, and he called it the Papa Prayer. And it's about the Lord's Prayer. And he says that's really the kind of phrase that Jesus was using when He talked about His Father. A term of great familiarity. My son called me on the phone yesterday morning. We had a good long talk. There was never one time when he said, oh Father who gave me life, oh Father who sustained me through the years, oh Father. He talked to me like I was his dad. He called me Dad. The same thing is the invitation that heavenly God has given to you. You come to me, and you come to me very personally because I care about you. He loves you. He's more than willing to listen when you pray. Heavenly Father. But then we also remember this, and simple prayer is an act of worship. That's why it's so important that we begin by praying to our Heavenly Father. Because at its heart, prayer is not about asking for what God can do. It is about worshiping Him for who He is. When I come to pray, I come to worship my Heavenly Father. Our passage this morning calls on believers to worship with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And to the Lord is the key to a rich prayer life. You pray to the Lord with a heart of worship and surrender. Prayer is an act of worship, accomplishes three things. Number one, it puts the Lord where He belongs. Now, it's not that He wasn't there, but it reminds you once again, this is the one I am dealing with. I am dealing with the Lord God Almighty, who is also my Father and who loves me more than anybody. And when I come to Him, I come to put the Lord where He belongs in my life because it reorients me. It's not that God went anywhere, but I did. Over the course of a day, over the course of a time, I moved away from where I should have been. God is not as central in my life as He ought to be. And when I pray, I put Him back where He belongs in my life. It's an act of worship. It puts God where He belongs. And then the second thing it does is this, and it reminds me of where I belong. It reminds me that this world doesn't really revolve around me. Hard to imagine. This world is not centered on making me happy. I'm not the most important person in everybody else's life. Now, here's the hard thing to imagine. and neither are you. We're not the most important ones. We worship the Lord. We pray as an act of worship because it reminds me I'm His child, and that's what gives my life value. It's not because of who I am or what I've done, because let's face it, I'm flawed and you're flawed and we're all flawed. I offended my wife not long ago. We were praying the blessing. Judith learned this blessing on a television show, and she likes to use it from time to time. It might work for you as well. And this is how it goes. She says, "Dear Lord, bless these sinners and their dinners. Amen." It's a pretty good blessing, isn't it? But we sat down the other day and she said, "You know, it's really your turn to say the blessing." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Dear Lord, bless this sinner while I have my dinner. Amen." You didn't think it was very funny at all, did you? The truth is, all of us are inclined to think that way, aren't we? You know, all these people around me, they got problems. I sure am glad I'm the one that's all straightened out. But when I pray as an act of worship, when I see the Lord for who He is and recognize His holiness as well as His incredible love, then it puts my life in perspective. My life has value because I'm a child of the King, not because of who I am. And the third thing that happens when we pray is it is an act of surrender, and that is true worship. Father, I know what I want. I know how the world would operate if I were in charge. I know I'd make a big mess out of things. I worship You. I surrender to You. Rather than saying to the Lord, "This is what I want You to do," we begin to pray the way our Lord taught us to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but Your will." Now, for Jesus, that was the pivotal event in all of human history. For us, it's a daily need. Lord, not what I want, what You want. I surrender. When you pray, that is always the most important motive. Simple prayer. It's an encounter with God. It's not about the words you use, it's the condition of your heart. Heavenly Father, You are God, I am not. Your plans are the best. You love me more than I could possibly deserve. So help me to honor You as my heavenly Father. And then we trust Him. So I guess my question this morning for you as I wrap this message up is simply this: is He your heavenly Father? By which I mean, has that time come in your life when you have said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, I recognize who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I see all of my failures, but I see them all through Your love. And You loved me, and You died for me so that I could know You and be Your child." Maybe today you simply need to pray another simple prayer, which is simply this: I surrender to You. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Maybe that's a prayer you need to pray this morning because you don't know the Lord, but you want to. And you feel Him tugging at your heart. And you know this is the day. If that's you, in a minute when we stand and sing an invitation hymn, that'll be your opportunity to come. I'll be glad to meet you. and you say, I want to know Jesus, and I'll be glad to introduce you to him. Or maybe God's doing something special in your life. Maybe as we begin a new year, you're recognizing God wants me to do that as a part of First Baptist Church. I want to bring my membership to this place and serve the Lord through here because this is where he's leading me to be. Or maybe there's something going on in your life and you're thinking, as this new year begins, I just want to commit this anew to the Lord. And you know what it is. And maybe today is just a day you want to say, I want to surrender. I want to trust you. And maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God deals with your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Forward to all the Lord has ahead for us in the year to come. It's going to be a special time. Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. Father, majestic beyond belief and more personal than we could ever imagine. And you give us the privilege of talking to you and knowing that you hear us. And you respond to us. Amazing. Heavenly Father, we depend upon you as we go from this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord.